This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina's bustling food scene has gotten quiet and empty in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Governor Cooper ordered all restaurants to close in mid-March except for takeout and delivery. Since then, every eatery in the state has had to shift and figure out a new way to reconfigure their business to fit the stay-at-home orders. Now, it has not all been bad. Some restaurants in smaller towns especially are doing better than before. And some see the current state of affairs as a way to innovate and change the food industry in our state for the better. Conversations about restaurant reopenings have centered on limiting capacity or outdoor seating. But some chefs worry that that's not going to be enough to support their business. Here's Wilmington-based chef Dean Neff.
There's no way that we're going to be able to sustain normal business at 25 or 50% capacity. So we're having to really, you know, look outside of the box and figure out other ways to bring the food of our area to people who care about that.
Matt Lardy and Jen Rice have been writing about the state of North Carolina's bars and restaurants. They're freelance journalists who write for Eater Carolinas. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm doing well. Jen, welcome to you as well.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Sure thing. Hey, Matt, let me start with you. I know you've been writing about how bars are doing around the state. What have you been hearing?
Yeah, so, you know, North Carolina's bars are sort of in this unique position, just the way that our alcohol laws are structured, whereas a restaurant can sell you, you know, their pizza or their sandwich to go. You can't go to one of our state's great craft cocktail bars and get a cocktail to go. Virginia recently allowed it back in April to go cocktails. And when the North Carolina legislature reconvened the other week to take up COVID-19 relief bills, the House, North Carolina House, inserted language in a provision allowing for to-go cocktails. Pretty strict rules. It was two cocktails per customer. They had to be sort of sealed, so you couldn't consume them on your walk home, or if you were driving, they had to be transported in the back of your car in the trunk. But when that language went to the North Carolina Senate, it faced some opposition from North Carolina Senate Republicans, and ultimately they could not get the votes to include that in the relief bill and ended up stripping it in the interest of passing the greater bill as it is.
Right, and as you say, beer and wine are still permissible as to go, but not liquor and cocktails. So how have bar owners reacted to that news?
I think, you know, across the board, bar owners seem to be pretty disappointed. I will say it's hard to get a lot of them to talk on record about this because the ABC can make or break their business. And a lot of bar owners are fearful of kind of saying anything negative about them. But for instance, I talked with Sean Umstead of Kingfisher Bar in Durham, and he told me that if he could sell to-go cocktails, he could open up his bar on his own, not put any of his employees at risk, and he could probably make enough money just to cover his basic overhead, things like rent and insurance and that sort of thing. And he just told me that he just felt so let down by, you know, by his representatives in the state.
Yeah, well, you talked about the ABC, of course, the State Controlled Liquor Authority, and they've got a buyback program, but apparently that's received some criticism as well.
Yeah, it on the face of things, it sounded great. As soon as the state began to shut down back in March, ABC offered bars and restaurants the chance to sell their liquor back to the ABC. So rather than sit on in what sometimes can be tens of thousands of dollars of liquor inventory, they were able to sell it back. But the fine print in that is that they were charged a 5% restocking fee by the ABC, which a lot of bar owners and restaurant owners told me felt like a slap in the face that ABC was able to somehow make money off of this, what was supposed to be a helpful thing to allow some of these businesses to have an immediate cash infusion to stay open.
Well, Jen, let me ask you a couple of questions, because I know you've been reporting on restaurants. How are they adjusting?
So you see a variety. There are restaurants that have remained closed, and then there are restaurants like St. Rock in Raleigh downtown who have never done takeout before. So you have this kind of, you know, they've never done takeout before. You don't think about all the supplies they have to order and the food that they're trying to put out versus what they did put out. So a lot of chefs have gotten really creative and also mainstreamed the menu. So they're not doing the fancier food because it's not easy to get that food out to consumers as, you know, it would be in a restaurant. And Sunny from St. Rock has never done takeout before. So that's something that they're perfecting right now. And he says he'll add that in when they reopen. And that's the question too. A lot of chefs have stated that they will continue to do takeout and even take and reheat. That's a lot easier and safer than trying to put out hot food until it's super safe to open for them.
Yeah, I would think that would be one of the big adjustments is not only if you're not used to doing, your restaurant doesn't do much takeout, there's that. But also, you know, in fine dining establishments, I mean, not necessarily what you want to do. This is not like a giant doggy bag, you know. So it would seem to me that it would be far more difficult for them when they're a little fussier about presentation and about, you know, precisely how it's done to actually move to takeout.
Right. And then a great example of a restaurant that has completely pivoted is Postmaster and Carey. You know, they're not super fine dining, but they realized that they weren't able to do the food that they wanted to do during COVID-19. So they pivoted into Government Burger, and it's really simple and really amazing burgers and grilled cheeses. And they're crushing it, and they're able to stay alive right now through that with just simple to-go food that people really want.
And I know, Jen, you've also focused on restaurants in smaller towns, and things seem to be a little different for them. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so out in Tarboro, Inez Rubicilla and her husband Steven, who own the Square, they've voiced that they've actually been doing really well with to-go orders, more so than before, because the community, you know, a lot of them commute to Raleigh and Durham, but they've got a bulk of their community at stay-at-home with work right now. So people are actually spending money in these small communities. And we've talked about, too, how I think after this is all over, there will be this kind of renaissance of the small town, and people are realizing all they need is in their community.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, too, is that as people are thinking more about being in less congested places after all this, will this mean a renaissance? And, of course, that means, could mean good news for eateries. Well, there's a lot of ideas floating around here. I want to get to reopening, though, which I think is, the other thing that's on the minds of bars and restaurants right now. They're waiting for the governor, of course, to announce if North Carolina can enter into phase two. I know William Disson is a chef at Marketplace in Asheville, and Haymaker Charlotte, as well as Billy D's Fried Chicken in Asheboro. So he's got a few places around. And all of these restaurants have been temporarily closed since mid-March. And here's how he's thinking about reopening.
You know, personally, I'm a little nervous, right? I'm married. I've got two young children. I feel like that once we do reopen, you know, that turns myself and our staff into frontline workers. And frankly, you know, even with the PPE that we're currently spending money to invest in for our teams, it still makes me nervous about being in the public and creating an atmosphere that's hospitable for our guests, right? You know, coming to a restaurant, it's all about energy. What I love about when you come into any of my restaurants that there's just this like generous feeling of warmth and hospitality and, you know, it's buzzing. And to me, that's why we like to go out to eat. Otherwise, you know, you stay home in quarantine and cook for yourself.
That's Asheville-based chef William Disson on reopening his restaurants, talking about eateries in the state now with Matt Lardy and Jen Rice. Matt, what are you hearing from people in the food industry about reopening?
I think you're right in saying that a lot of these restaurant owners are just waiting to hear some guidance from the governor. But it's not only the governor. It's also down to county leaders and city and town leaders. Right now, we sort of have kind of like pretty much everywhere else in the nation, this patchwork of regulations that dictate who can and cannot open. And it may be different once you cross a town or a county line. One thing that I've heard from a lot of people almost universally is that the 50% capacity rule is just a no-go. If they can only serve 50% of the customers that they usually had, that means they can only employ 50% of their employees, which might sound like, you know, that's at least some small benefit, but they're also not going to be paying only 50% of their rent or only 50% of their insurance costs. So unless a reduced capacity rule is done hand in hand with things like rent and loan forgiveness, I think you will see a lot of restaurants either opt just to stay closed until they can fully reopen, or to be quite honest, some of them may open and just say that, you know, this is it. We can't do this anymore. We gave everything, gave it all we could, and you'll start to see a lot of closures.
Jen, what are you hearing? And especially, you know, when you think about what William Disson was saying, I mean, on the side of the restaurant owner, there's a lot of trepidation. It's not like, yeah, I'd like to get back in business, but man, one false step and we're all ruined and somebody gets hurt. I mean, are you hearing fears like that? Jen, I wonder. Jen, are you there? Apparently lost it. But Matt, maybe you can ask that question.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of chefs being fearful of reopening because they have staff at hand. And then if you look at the unemployment rules, too, a lot of them are on unemployment until July 31st. And we don't think about that as consumers nearly as much as they do. But, you know, you have them. Can you bring them back? Is it worth to bring them back to maybe reopen for a couple days and then have to reclose? So I think it's a mixture of fear and everyone trying to give it their one chance. And, you know, I think it'll be a mixture of closures and people waiting a long time to reopen until it's 100% safe.
Right. Yeah, because that's the other side of it. You know, you're talking about the government and regulation. When we can do this legally, are we ready as a restaurant? And then are customers ready to show up? So all that's kind of in flux here. Matt, what are people doing now? I know you reported on chefs who are connecting directly with their patrons. You talked about Sean Ubstead at Kingfisher. I know they're doing a kind of a daily happy hour online. What are some of the other ideas that that bars and restaurants are doing to keep connected?
Yeah, that's been kind of one of the bright spots in all this. You know, we're all at home diligently, you know, feeding our sourdough starters and watching all the cooking videos. And a lot of chefs in particular, you know, they spend a lot of their time in the kitchen. They don't really get a whole lot of face time with their patrons. And all of a sudden now they're able to pivot to Facebook Live or Instagram Live. And so you've seen things like, you know, a cookbook author in Chapel Hill, Nancy McDermott, she's been cooking live on her Facebook every day at 2 p.m., doing some of her own recipes, recipes from other people. You see folks like Durham Distillery and their new bar with their Conniption Gin and their new bar that's going to open. Sean Umstead as well. They've been doing online cocktails. There's a food blogger in Winston-Salem, Nikki Miller-Ka, who's been doing Sangria Saturdays on Facebook. And even, you know, Vivian Howard out in Kinston, Chef and the Farmer, her new PBS show launched right as the pandemic started to shut everything down. And I spoke to her and they had to throw their entire marketing plan right out the window. You know, no tours, no book signings,
right.
None of that. So well, she's gone on Instagram Live to do tips cooking with her kids. And she said that she has had so much fun and connected with so many fans from across the state and across the nation that this will be a permanent part of how she markets her work going forward.
Well, we heard from Ricky Moore, who's the chef and founder, as you know, of the Saltbox Seafood Joint in Durham. He's been doing carry-out food at both locations and has even started something called Curbside Sunday Chowder Courts that feature homemade chowder and fresh fish for sale. Here's what Chef Ricky had to say.
I've been having fun with this. I know it sounds morbid that I tell you this, but I love the challenge of overcoming something, okay? And that's what's kept me going. Now, I've been troubled. You know, I've been trying to make things work. When it first hit, I stopped paying myself immediately. Screw, you know. Luckily, I was in a position to do so, okay? So I've always been told to have something for a rainy day. It was raining like hell when this thing hit. So, you know, you know, I've been working 7 days a week, you know, and I find every opportunity to make some money. I go straight into hustle mode, you know. I'm that guy. If the government didn't tell me don't cook something, close your restaurant, then I would have did it. But they didn't say that. So I'm like, no. I got a stove. I got a pot. Okay, I got some fire. and I got some ingredients. And if I can't do it at the front door, we're going to do it at the back.
Here we go. Chef Ricky Moore of Saltbox Seafood Joint in Durham talking about the state of North Carolina's bars and restaurants now with Eater Carolina's writers, Jen Rice and Matt Lardy. So, Jen, I know you reported on some of the ways that North Carolinians can best support their local restaurants and businesses. What are some of the takeaways?
So some of the takeaways are definitely shop local. I know I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I can't find flour in the grocery store, at, like chain grocery stores like Harris Teeter. And I think it's just, you know, prompting consumers to be a little more smart and resourceful and know that there are local mills and meat purveyors and farmers everywhere in the Triangle and beyond that have a bunch of amazing produce that you can shop. And then we had talked about to-go orders. A lot of third-party businesses charge 30% to the takeout order for the restaurant. So trying to go pick it up safely, so that saves them a lot of money, and obviously tipping. And then Matt and I talked about Coco Cinnamon too, how they've bluntly stated that they need to sell 200 bags of coffee to keep their employees afloat during COVID-19 each day. So I think knowing numbers like that and where your restaurants and chefs actually are and how you can tremendously help is a great way to start.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about the economic importance of these places. I want to bring in another voice now, and that's Katie Button, who's based in Asheville, owner of Karate Tapas Bar and Button & Company Bagels. Her restaurants were closed at first. Last couple of weeks, they've started selling prepared foods. Let's listen to what she has to say.
What we need as an industry is we need support, we need aid, we need a stabilization fund that will ensure that we make it. I mean, there's a reason that the restaurant industry profit margins are so small. It means that for every dollar that's spent in our businesses, 95%, 95 cents on that dollar goes right back out in our community. We get the support that we need, you can guarantee that we're going to put that money to good use, and we're going to be paying our farmers and our suppliers and being the creative entrepreneurs that we all want to be and thinking of safe ways to operate our business and have this all happen. But without it, and so far we have not received anything, without it, we will not make it.
That's Asheville-based chef Katie Button talking about what the restaurant industry in North Carolina needs. Talking about that now with reporters Jen Rice and Matt Lardy. So this really, Jen, this really talks about the importance of these local restaurants. A local food scene is cool on the one hand, but on the other hand, this means not a lot of chain restaurants. So what Katie was saying is this money recirculates. That's what makes these restaurants so important to our local economies. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I think what is best to do to help support right now, too, is to think about it as a local consumer and a local diner and, you know, really buy local. Check out the Independent Restaurant Coalition. Write to your local elected leaders and officials. And if you start small, you can make a bigger impact. And I think it, you know, COVID-19, unfortunately, has really, really shown what's happening with our supply chain and our industries and all of the flaws in them. And I hope that with this, you know, we start local.
Matt Lardy, any sense of, I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm running a little short of time. And Matt, I'm just wondering from you if you have any sense of how this might look going forward.
It's going to be different. And I think we all, as diners, we need to start from there, that knowing that things are going to be different. I think that we need to be patient with our restaurants. And I think that we, like Jen said, we just need to support them. Katie Button is absolutely right. The vast majority of money that these independent restaurants make stays in the community. It doesn't go off to holding companies or shareholders. It stays in our community. So, you know, if you have a local restaurant that you love, get in touch with them. Ask them what you can do to help. And just keep your eyes and ears open for other ways to assist.
All right. Matt Lardy and Jen Rice, freelance journalists who write for Eater Carolinas. You can find links to their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org.